Hey, this is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez from The Real Ass Podcast. Thanks for listening, but did you know that we do the show live every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch live, join the chat room, have access to the video version of the show, and access hundreds of hours of archives if you sign up for membership at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP when you check out, and you'll save $1 on monthly network membership. We got a bunch of great shows on the network, including Legion of Skanks, The Just the Show, High Society Radio, SDR Show, and the brand new Tim Dillon is Going to Hell. Once again, that's gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use promo code RAP when you check out. And best of all, you don't have to listen to this commercial.
This is The Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Yeah, what's up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude. Comedy live from the East Village in New York City, Alphabet City. Gas Digital Studios, GasDigitalNetwork.com. Guys, I'm not going to lie. That was a lot of fake energy. I am really beat right now. I went to bed really late last night. I woke up at 10 to 11. My alarm didn't go off. 10 minutes to 11, I was awake. So I'm actually surprised I'm even here on time right now. In studio, as always, international superstar Zach Amico is here.
I'm tired, too.
Zach's mic is not on.
Shannon. Zach's mic is not on.
Shannon.
Check.
I don't hear his mic at all, Shannon.
Check.
I thought we did a mic check.
He's very low.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Zach Amico is here.
I sat in each mic and I screamed out the N-word for 5 minutes while she did the thing.
That's how we test the levels.
Yeah.
He's still very low. I'm hearing him very low compared. And I also said, I don't want to go through this every week, Shannon. Let's just listen and then fix it, okay? Also, Chris Tinkle's in studio.
Yay.
Chris listen Tinkle's here.
Yeah.
He sounds great.
I sound great.
Tinkle is how everyone on the microphone should sound. And this will not be the opening bit of the show every week is us talking about the audio of the fucking show. It's driving me out of my mind.
The show sounds nice.
Let's just fix it. And in studio, very happy to have this guy here. First time on a podcast, I think, that I've done at all. Yeah. Akash Singh joins us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah.
Sorry about the extremely amateur setup.
This is actually super professional. Room with like professional equipment.
It's amateur hour here at the Gas Digital Studios today, and I want to apologize.
By the way, that's how low the bar is for podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, it's
you
a
guys
podcast.
Got a room.
Now you guys have colors on the wall.
Akash, nice. In your culture, what would you do to a woman who's this insubordinate, who's fucking up the audio on a podcast this much? I'm not exactly sure what your culture is, but is it Indian?
I'm Indian. She's poor girl's all flustered over.
What do they do in India if a woman is fucking up the audio on a podcast?
They're not allowed to touch technology.
Yeah, they are. They're allowed to touch technology.
Yeah, we're busy being doctors for the most part, like you call us with your audio issues, so yeah. You'd probably be like, you should know this.
My only insight into the Indian world, and I'm not even being ignorant right now, is I had a dentist who was Indian, Dr. Singh.
Hey,
go figure.
Great guy, probably.
And he looked like a wish troll. And then
cousins.
I also that movie Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh yeah.
Which is
that opened it up for us. That's what made us like viable in Hollywood.
Is that a realistic look at
really
Indian life?
If you're like super poor, yeah.
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 There's I'm going to say, dude, that actress, I don't know her fucking name off the top of my head.
Frida Pinto.
She is one of the hottest chicks of all time.
She's amazing.
White, black, brown, whatever.
Yeah, that was a good movie. That was a good movie. So that's really what I know about the Indian culture. But I don't see colors. I think we're all one. That's the way that I am.
A hat that says blacked.
I'm very progressive.
You're a jerk off.
He introduced himself as the Puerto Rican rattlesnake.
Yeah, that's very true. So, Akash, dude, happy to have you here on the show.
You
had a video that went viral this past week.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's a four-year-old clip.
That's a four-year-old clip?
Yeah.
Really?
From the Village Lantern where you performed.
That's funny. You know what's funny? I knew that it was the Village Lantern. I just haven't really been down there. I know that they changed it all.
Right.
I didn't realize that it was that old of a video.
Yeah, it's an old video. I put it up 4 years ago, and I remember thinking, this might maybe go viral.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't. It had like 100,000 views, so that was cool. And then it just went crazy this past
week. It had 100,000 views already. That's pretty decent,
though. Solid,
that's
yeah.
Like, that's like micro-viral.
Right, I'll take it. And then in the next, like, I think I was promoting a show at Caroline's. I think I paid to do Facebook advertising.
Yeah.
And I think someone saw my name from that, looked me up, saw that video, put it on Reddit.
Really?
And that's how it all happened, I think.
It was Facebook advertising.
Yeah.
It might actually work, guys.
Yeah.
I was like, who the fuck does Facebook advertising?
I thought it was idiotic, and then $50 got me a million views on a video.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So you put this video up 4 years ago, and that's kind of funny because I would almost be nervous having my material from 4 years ago go out. Just, we're always growing as comedians.
Yeah.
The comics that we are today compared to 4 years ago,
right.
I mean, it's leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No matter what. You've been to comedy for 10 years?
Yeah, coming up on 10, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Damn, I'm fucking good. I'm just such a fucking dinosaur at this point that I just watched everyone start so I can compute when everyone started.
I remember when I first came here, I remember seeing you at the Comedy Corner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus Christ, the fucking Comedy Corner.
It was a dungeon. It was a horrible place.
Yeah, it turned into CBS. Anyway, this video, I don't like. I usually hate Comedian Destroys Heckler videos because they're never good.
I hated titling it Comedian Destroys Heckler, but I knew that was the only way people would see it.
Of course, you have to play. Yeah. There's little tricks you can do.
Right.
And you have to make sure, you know, to get eyes on it. And titling it in a certain way obviously helps.
Right.
So that's fine. But usually when it's a Comedian Destroys Heckler video, it's never the comedian destroying the heckler.
Yeah,
right.
No.
It's just talking.
Usually it's you. Well, look at Amy Schumer. She had that one that came out a couple months ago where it was like, Amy Schumer destroys male heckler. And it's on all these feminist blogs and they're like, oh, she's the shit. She's fucking, she destroys, she put that fool in his place. And then you watch it, and she's like, if you say one more word, I'm going to have security throw you out.
Yeah. Dude, Kramer destroyed a heckler.
Yeah.
If you have to send a heckler to therapy. But yeah, I think that, I always thought that was kind of, it's kind of funny. Like, that's the standard of destroying a heckler. The bar is set very low. Your video, and we're going to watch at least some of it in a few minutes here, you actually do a great job at fucking breaking this chick down.
Thank you.
And you nail it in the video, and I want people to be conscious of this. It's a black chick.
Yeah.
And you get a fucking black chick.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. That is particularly hard if you're going to be heckled by somebody because there's all of these triggers.
Right.
All of the, you know what I mean?
That's funny.
All of these. But there's all these little things that are setting people off in the room, and people are immediately uncomfortable.
Yeah.
People feel as if they have to side with a brown person. They feel as if they have to side with a woman automatically.
Right.
I think because you are an Indian man,
I gave you a little more leeway.
Yeah.
Not much, but I say this in the video, and then I wish I had verbalized it better so the people on the clip would understand, but like, there's a point where I say it was your cosign that made these.
Yes, that's the point.
It was
another
black girl that was dying laughing at everything.
I thought it was a guy. You're right.
No.
I didn't.
And since it was another black girl, the audience was like, "All right, well, I guess this one sucks."
Yeah. You pointed that out in the video. I thought it was a brilliant point because you said you saved this.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't here, nobody else would be okay.
Yeah.
All these white people would freeze up and be like, "Oh my God, two minorities are going at it. I don't know what to do." Check,
please.
It's
so sad that white people need permission to laugh.
Yeah.
So bad. Yeah.
As a guy who's all about race humor and white people are my least favorite.
Yeah.
I still feel horrible for them at comedy shows. I'm like, what do you laugh at?
I feel bad for white people in life.
At this point, they really have
become just the punching bag. You're not allowed to punch back. Like, you got your hands tied behind your back. You're just being punched in the face over and over again.
Especially white men.
Yeah, white men.
Nate McIntosh has a great thing that he should make a bit. I don't know if he has, but he's like, white women they're so privileged. They've privileged their way out of being privileged. And now it's just white men getting kicked in the nuts all the time.
That's funny. That is really funny.
Yeah.
And you guys have to just sit there and just take it. You can't say anything.
Dude, I have it rough, man.
Yeah.
It's a hard,
but it
hard
really
life,
has. I'm not even being,
yeah,
I'm not even lying right now. In 2016,
the bang white chicks,
it is tough for a fucking white guy in comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
that's the hardest.
In 2016, I'm not saying in banking.
Right.
It's probably still pretty dope to be a banker if you're a white guy or work on Wall Street.
Fucking therapist or a teacher.
Yeah. In stand-up comedy, to be a fucking white guy, it's a fucking, you are the new nigger.
I can't
you
tell
really
you
are.
How many times I've heard dude, if you just weren't like a white dude.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times.
No, my friend got
no MC will bring me up as the new nigger Zach Amico either.
He's tried. He's
asked everyone, they're like, what's your credit? I'm like, I got this.
My friend's been told for shows. They're looking for many times. They're looking for diversity. I've had multiple white friends have it happen, which, you know, whatever. I guess it's comeuppance or whatever. But like, yeah. I feel worse for an audience member as a white person because like I pay money to go laugh. But then I need permission to laugh.
Yeah, you're right, dude. And it's not even like real. Like, this is what comedy's become. It's become like, stop, think, is everyone okay? Laugh.
Yeah.
That's not fucking comedy.
I hate that. No,
comedy is balls out fucking, you know, you spit it out and you figure out where the funny is at. Funny is natural and it's real. You shouldn't have to think about what's funny and right. where to laugh.
Yeah.
You know? It's so funny you mentioned diversity because I produce a show called The Mashup Show at The Stand, and we have the next one on November 3rd for the New York Comedy Festival. We take two comics, we put them on stage together, and they do whatever they want to do together.
Right.
And Christine, Big J's girlfriend, who books the show with me, she hits me up, and we have Big J and Ari, and we have like Dave Smith and Dan Soder. And she's like, hey, I think we need a little diversity. So how about we have Giannis Pappas and Louis Katz? And I was like, that's diversity in your mind? A Jew and a Greek guy. Okay. So you put this video up. And where did you hear that it was going viral? When did you?
So I put it up. And then that night, I got a bunch of emails like for comments on the video. And I just figured one of these race debates had broken out on the video. It's happened a couple times. I don't think anything of it. Then another comic, Zach Reinier, messages me on Facebook, and he's like, hey, he just sends me the Reddit link. And then I check the Reddit link, and I see it's getting, like, some votes or whatever, and comments, mostly good. I don't know, whatever. I go to sleep. I wake up the next day, I get another message from, like, 5 in the morning. Someone's like, yo, you're the number one video on Reddit right now.
Yeah, that's huge.
And then I found out it was World Star Hip Hop front page, which, sadly and literally, is a dream come true for me.
It really is, isn't it? Because yeah. You're Indian, you're also like hip hop Indian.
I'm a very hip hop Indian.
Yeah. Is that a genre or like a subset?
So I don't want to do material, but I have a joke about like there's no way for anyone who's not white or black, there's no real identity in America for you, just carved out. Black people, you could choose to be a hip hop dude, whatever. That's your thing. Everybody else kind of has to pick a side.
Yeah.
So like,
that's funny.
I always kind of identified more with, probably because I grew up in white schools and they were quick to tell me in the South, you're not one of us.
Yeah, of course.
So I always kind of identified with black hip hop.
Weird, because I had a similar thing. I grew up in the suburbs, you know, 45 minutes outside of New York City, very similar. But I was the only Hispanic kid in my very white trash neighborhood.
Right.
But I went to the other side. Like, I just started identifying with white people, and I wanted to be. So I listened to like heavy metal
smart
music,
choice.
And I dyed my hair. Yeah, I was like, why would you choose to be black in this country?
Yeah, why would you? Yeah, if you have a choice to go hip hop or white, that's weird.
Dude, you're not very smart for an Indian. What are you talking
about?
Well,
I saw what was coming. I wanted to be an entertainer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to be on the Yankees or the Milwaukee Brewers?
I fake laughed at that. I don't get that joke. I'm not a man. I really don't. What is the Brewers? Are they bad?
I just picked a team that wasn't the Yankees.
Yankees is the best.
I got it. The Yankees is the best. So then you heard it was going viral. And had you been on Reddit before?
I don't know how the fuck Reddit works at all. Yeah. Someone told me how to do an AMA. I was like, how?
It's
great. Like, walk me through.
It really is a great tool. I was talking to Tinkle about it yesterday for hammer fisting. It's like me. I do an MMA show.
Right.
And I go to reddit.com/r/MMA and I post the videos that me and Bisping put together. And 100,000, 200,000 views. I mean, if you have content that they're interested in, they will share it and they'll make it go viral. It's a really great tool. I think people are like, they don't really understand what it is. And then when they get in there, they get their feelings hurt. Like comedians will start, it's like Googling yourself.
Right. Yeah, don't go. Yeah.
And then they see what people say about you and then they get their feelings hurt and then they stay away from it. But
I think people think it's like 4chan was, where it's just people going to like shitpost and say mean things.
Yeah, no.
But it's a good combination.
That's it's like 5% of it is that.
Yeah. You know what almost bothers me more than the blanket, this guy sucks, is the long explanation of why they think you suck.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, fuck this dude.
Yeah.
I get really bothered.
Well, they make points and they fucking
They nail it.
Number it. Outline it. Yeah. Well, that's always the thing.
Oh, yeah. When they find the thing that you hate about you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When they completely get it and you're like, oh, this fucking piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. When I
read. That's insight.
Yeah. How they know I wasn't working hard enough.
Oh, it destroyed. When I read Nigga Just Screams His Punchlines. Oh, my God. Rip me apart.
Hilarious. The fact that there was a black person on Reddit and he found you. It's pretty impressive. So this starts going viral, and look, it's great. Yeah, let's play some of the video, Shannon. Let me ask you a question. Pause it for a second before we get into it. Where are we at this point in the show?
So this is actually a 13-minute thing, And yeah. I cut it down to 5 minutes. And the first part is a joke that she actually probably would have liked about how, like, minorities. The point is, I say minorities are never history majors because we're not, like, the history textbooks in America only have the shitty stuff about us.
Yeah.
So then that's basically the idea of the joke. But she doesn't let me get to that. As soon as I say minorities generally don't like history, she gets all defensive and she's like, no, that's not true.
She's not ghetto. She's one of these uppity, educated yes. blacks, which are the worst. I would rather a ghetto black over an educated black.
Oh, somebody
any day
sleeps
of the week.
At the big house.
I'd rather.
It was just this insecurity that I've had. All my black friends who went to HBCUs, which is why I ask historically black colleges, yeah. is they just assume I'm being racist. Oh, just because I'm black doesn't mean I blah blah. And I'm like, shut up.
Yeah,
no one. This is weird insecurity you have. So I kind of start joking with her on that level a little bit, but like more as I'm just engaging her at first. And we're talking, and then it just keeps going, and it just keeps getting.
And when somebody's heckling, and they feel like they're not drunk, it's like a conscious, justified. Yes. Like yeah. I'm gonna argue with you because, like, you know, people's ears shouldn't be hearing this. It's right. like it's fucking hard. That's the person that I'm usually like. I'm not even gonna try to fucking smash them. I'm gonna have security throw them out. I pull the Amy Schumer there. And I'm not even going to go at her.
Dude.
But you were like,
well,
fuck it.
It's the lantern. There is no security. Like, yeah. we used to almost get it. I'm a little
Scopo,
dude. I'll
get rid of her.
Beat. Yeah, Scopo, get him out of here. Get that ass in here. Get him out of here.
Luis J. Gomez destroys Heckler. Scopo.
But, like, I'm a little dude, but there's no security there. So on that stage, I had to pretend I'm ready to fight everybody.
Yeah.
So, like, you never back down. There was not an option.
Of course.
So I had to
That's
kind
of engage.
That's
the plot of that movie, actually. Yeah. It's been an open mic comedian at the Village Lantern.
Never back down reference, only on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Or hammer fisting.
Nobody knows what that movie is.
Not a bad movie. I'm gonna be honest.
We interviewed...
What movie?
Never Back Down 2.
Oh, yeah. We interviewed Todd Duffy.
Todd Duffy, yeah.
It's one of the greatest things ever because he was a fucking novice actor, and you could tell that they shot it in sequence. Because he was awful, and towards the end of the movie, he
started
was, like,
getting
okay.
Good. Yeah,
yeah, he like wasn't as terrible. Yeah, it was really funny.
You started seeing him like reaching for his fucking acting partner. Yeah. So she, and how far into the set was this at this point?
I think like 8 minutes into the set, 9 minutes into the set.
And why were you said you were taping for something?
I was, it was for a college. This is so long ago. That was all I wanted at the time.
Yeah.
And then my manager, who was fucking no one. She was like, yeah, I sent this to some Sophie K or whoever, but they want something that's cleaner. So I'm trying to do a clean set, and then it just escalates. And even now, you can tell within the clip, it starts where I'm just like, just lighten up.
Yeah.
And then it by the end, it is much more like, yeah. I'm just so fucking irritated with this woman.
Of course, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Even you can see the progression
and
of the clip.
And you are upset.
Yeah, oh, I'm not.
Because you're very, one of the things you project an energy onto the audience, you don't come off, this is why I say 4 years ago, I'm surprised, because you come off as very together. You come off as very like you've been there before.
It's a lantern, you have been there before. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
It just happened
I
to
guess
be
you're
on
very
tape.
Comfortable in that room.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, this was, I'm very comfortable there. It's a very, conflict happens all the time. First of all, also, this is a free show. So the fact that anyone complains at a free show.
Yeah, of course.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're the worst audience. Free audiences are the worst because they literally go, they cross their arms and go, make me laugh. There's a guy, if people don't understand the Village Lantern, most of our fans don't live in the New York comedy scene. The Village Lantern is a very small little room. It's a great little workout room.
Right.
Okay, to this day, I'll still go there and work out shit, right?
Yeah.
So it's a great little room, but what they do is they have guys called barkers, which are young comedians who have to stand out in front of the room. And as people are walking by in the West Village, they have to say, hey, come check out the show. It's free. Come downstairs. You know, I'll give you a drink ticket or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
Which is what I did.
They basically have to beg people
to
fucking come. It's not even... I used to sell tickets. Selling tickets is different because it's a transaction. You engage them. A sales transaction, you end up having this weird relationship. And then paying money for something, they hold it to a certain value. Right?
Yes.
When you're begging somebody to come into your room, when you're like, dude, I need to get five people in this room or I'm not getting on stage.
Right.
I need five more people. Please come downstairs. I promise you'll like it. If you don't like it, you can leave. That's a line.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you can leave.
Right.
When you're begging a person. Dude, what type of audience member do you think that person is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst of the
you get an entire
worst.
Room of those people.
Yes.
And the
and also they're
the kind of
losers, dude, is because like they didn't have anywhere
loser.
Else to be.
They couldn't get into the Comedy
loser.
Cellar. They don't know how to use an app on their fucking phone.
Absolute loser. You had nothing else to do when you're here like a fucking nerd with no friends.
Because I'm
it's
a loser,
Saturday
but I have a dream and you're just watching me.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
fuck kind of person are you? You know what's also funny, too? I could also see like how you get frustrated and go off the rails because to fucking make a tape in comedy... Like, a lot of people, they don't understand. It's like, anytime you make a tape, anytime anything goes wrong right away, it's like, oh, fuck this thing.
Yeah.
Dude, right. The first time anyone says anything, dude, I've done sets where you need 5 minutes.
You should put together a fucking montage.
Dude, I have so many.
Your disappointed look when somebody ruins your tape. That's a great.
Yeah.
There's a thousand of them out there, just the moment where
that's so funny. That's so funny.
Fuck it. You literally start cursing.
Dude.
The moment when it goes from clean to cursing.
Yes. Dude, I've done sets where I needed 5 minutes. And like it was going fine. At the 4.5 minute mark, someone yells something out. I'm like, fuck. And then I'm like, well, that tape's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just realized, you asked if I was angry. I said, yeah. I was just more like annoyed.
Yeah.
Because this happened so much. And then I remember at a point, I was like, you know what? And when they started really laughing, I was like, this is actually the tape.
Oh, it's great.
And I realized that at a certain point. And then I started playing into it.
Yeah, a few big laughs in, you're like, oh, shit, the audience is really, really on my side. But even then, you almost like, I almost feel like you have to have chops to not get nervous and go off the rails and say something stupid or say something that brings it too far. Like me, I would have been calling her a cunt within 30 seconds. I mean, I know me, like, I would have gotten two big laughs and I'd be like, I got him. I got him on my side. You dumb black cunt.
Come on, audience. Cunt.
I would have walked everybody in the audience. I would have started making monkey sounds. I would have gone way too far.
Well, because conflict happened all the time in that room, and plus, that's my friendships growing up.
Yeah.
Which no one on the World Star page wants to believe is like, I had black friends growing up, and that's just what we did. We just made fun of each other with race stuff.
Of course, yeah.
So, like,
brown people typically aren't the people who are worried about race shit. That's what we did. I said this on the show before. In middle school, my middle school gym teacher would separate us by whites and browns, and that's we would compete. Every day at gym class, it would be white people versus brown people in basketball, hockey.
Yeah.
We would slay the white kids. We're getting their asses kicked. But it was funny, and it kind of diffused the racial tension. It was a very racially diverse school, and we all kind of just laughed about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But when it's...
That's not fair. Dude, as a white kid, that's not fair.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, y'all are done.
If you were always on the fucking I'm on the white kid team again. Yeah.
Shirts versus hoods.
All right, so play some more of the video, or some of it. We haven't even started it.
Guilt and they just have to agree with the black person. I'm glad you guys don't care. And it was you, honestly, it was your cosign. I appreciate you. Your cosign, let them know. She don't know shit. You know, bougie. I don't care. Yeah, feel free. Go outside. Talk about Slumdog. I don't give a fuck. How sensitive you think I am? No one cares. We don't have time to be all serious in this world. I'm gonna die. I'm Hindu, so I get another life. You don't. Right, Morocco? What's up? Oh, they love me. They hate you.
That's the moment where you're like, oh, yeah.
That's how I'm really feeling myself.
This is where I throw the cunt. Right there. I'm like, you dumb cunt.
And then,
right
from scratch.
Goddamn Spellman, all right?
You can, dude, that's funny. You can see your fucking chest kind of like poof up a little bit, dude.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You're like, I got him on the ropes, dude.
Sure. I'm a little dude. This is the one place where you can't get to me until after the set.
That's great.
You know, that's the only place you get this kind of attitude about me. I'm like, yeah, relax, son. I'm not white. I don't owe you anything. I got no guilt. What guilt you think
I remember thinking that line was a little daring. Because she's a black woman, I know I can lose them. That's part of the reason.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that it was supposed to be clean, I think, helped me because then I was slower to cuss her out or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
But also, I know this is a black woman. One thing, a whole audience turns.
Yeah, the audience will
She's
fucking,
the victim.
They'll shut down. I don't think people realize how sensitive comedy is.
Yeah.
People don't get it. They don't appreciate. This is the reason why I asked you to be on the show. By the way, before you reached out, I posted this on Facebook and I got a few hundred likes on it specifically. And you hit me up. You're like, dude, thanks for sharing that. I was going to hit you up already and ask you to come on the show.
I appreciate that.
Because
but
I don't think people realize how good this is because of the other factors.
It's like watching a tightrope act.
Yeah,
thank
it really
you,
is.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and really also, is. You sharing it, you have a lot of respect in the comedy community. I don't because I don't really care to be friends with these people.
Right.
But you
think,
sharing
I don't think either of those things are true, but good. Continue.
No, but you do because then after you shared it, like 10 different comics shared it.
Oh,
and it's
good.
Like, this has been on your news feed for a week.
Yeah.
Now Lewis shared it and you're like, oh, what? Look at that.
It was great. It was really good. And I think comics specifically can appreciate it a little more. And this is why I'm trying to deconstruct it a little bit for the audience watching it at home. It's much different than the normal Comedian Destroys Heckler video. Number one, it's good, which typically they're not actually smashing them. But number two, there's so many other variables and factors here that made this a very difficult task and made it very daring and risky. I mean, look, you said it yourself. It's a Village Lantern. Like, you just won't put the tape out if it came out bad. Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But it was very well done and really, really, I mean, way ahead of your time that time specifically. I thought, I mean, this is, you know, I watched 20-year vets not be able to do this. So let's play some more of it.
For you. You see, the friend is, the problem you hollered at him in the show, she was just like, it's getting rough for her. You don't care that no one likes you? What kind of horrible self-awareness do you have? They clearly love me more than you, and that doesn't bother you? So you're the type of girl who just won for an election, get 2% of the votes, and be like, you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't need nobody to like me.
Lisa, we talked back to you about what you started
saying. Oh my God, why is this taking so long? You can't just get to the point, right? That's why you're in the audience, because no one cares what you think. Society has deemed it this way. Society decided I'm here, you're there, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what my job is, to be funny. My job is to cater to your stupid sensitivities. I'm sorry someone was racist to you when you were 8, all right? I grew up in Texas after 9/11. I promise, I took it just like you. I promise, I took it just like you.
Yeah, worse. Worse. You could turn it off, because that was actually the quote I wanted to get to, which is great. It's like, my job is to be funny, not to cater to your stupid sensitivities. And that's what I quoted you on Facebook. And I think, like, that's when you go to a comedy show, it's like, we're not bringing the comedy show to your living room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to a place where you should assume that if you have sensitivities, they might be touched on, and you need to leave that at home. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is why, like, you know, if I'm going down the street and I'm fucking, you know, telling dick jokes to strangers as they walk by and trying to fucking get them to give me money, it's a little different because I'm invading your space. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? But when you come in...
You guys came here.
Yeah, it's crazy. Turn the channel.
You came into our house.
Don't come in. Walk out. There's so many other things you could do besides yell something out.
Right.
You know? And it's like... it's almost like hecklers are almost like we put them into different, like, sectors. You know? There's, like, the hecklers that are legitimately trying to argue with you or who are angry. Then there's ones that are trying to help out the show. There's ones that are drunk that don't even realize that they're heckling.
You can't yell at them. You can like be like, hey, man, relax. But it's hard. He doesn't know better.
Yeah, somebody's trying to help out the show. You almost wish comics were, like, in charge of the rooms. Because if I see somebody trying to help out the show, I'd go up to them and be like, hey, just keep your voice down, buddy. Yeah. You know?
I don't even consider that heckling. That's just a guy who doesn't know any better.
Yeah, that happened last night at the Roastmasters. Somebody, it was when you were on stage.
Yep.
It was fucking, and by the way, that guy was so annoying. He yelled out, Bobby started coughing, Robert Kelly started coughing. So some guy yells out, somebody call Bobby an ambulance. And yet, Zach goes, Bobby, you're an ambulance. It was fucking quick. It was so funny. It was in the moment. And then the fucking guy... It's like, oh, yeah, dude, you're getting a laugh off my joke. And I was like, buddy, shut up. Yeah. First of all, it wasn't your joke, fuckface. Yeah. You said something retarded, and Zach made it clever and funny and interesting.
Your joke bombed if it was a joke.
Yes.
Yeah.
He saved your joke, actually.
With the dumbest laughing style 1950s joke.
Oh, dude, it was so funny, though, dude. It was really good. Yeah.
Here's 2 points I always want to make about this is, one, it shocks me that people come to a comedy show. We say it's all jokes, and then they walk in like, this is all super serious.
Yeah.
Anyone says anything I don't agree with, we're hitting the blogs. But then we'll all go listen to a rap CD where they talk about selling drugs and fucking every girl on site.
Raping
and
women,
murdering
beating
people,
women, yeah.
And they say it's all real, and then you're like, well, that's just fun.
That's art.
Yeah. And then those same people will, like, make fun of, like, conservative people who want to cover nudity in paintings. They're like, what are you doing? You don't censor art.
Yeah, of course.
But then you come to us.
We're the only ones. It's so funny. We're the only type of art that we don't have freedom to really talk about what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
And we're the only ones that are kidding. You can make a movie about anything. You could fucking make a near snuff film about rape where you have fucking 8 dudes pounding out a chick and just fucking put some cool lighting on it and call it fucking art house noir or whatever.
Right.
And people are okay with that. You'll get a fucking an Oscar for that.
Right.
But you make a joke where you talk about triggering. How if you watch a movie with a rape scene in it, how is that not more triggery than somebody mentioning the word rape in a joke and trying to find some sort of humor in a dark subject?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. So that it's just this inconsistency. It seems like because we're the weakest... In terms of Hollywood, I feel like comedians are the least powerful. You know what I'm saying? There's a few that are legitimately have some power. Kevin Hart, but not even really. Kevin Hart's not like fucking, you know, Brad Pitt.
Right.
You know, I guess maybe he is now at this point. He's pretty fucking famous.
Yeah.
But it's not like, I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's riding the rock around like Master Blaster.
I mean, he won't, yeah, he won't touch on anything. He says it. I'm not touching on anything that could be sensitive to people.
It's crazy. It's like we're the only ones that are kind of held to that scrutiny. You
and
know?
It's weird that they are. Remember when we were growing up and Eminem was really popular and these soccer moms were burning his CDs? We have become those soccer moms.
Yes.
We are those people.
The younger generation has become like, oh my God, let's cover our eyes. We can't hear these things. We're the pussies.
Yeah.
Gavin McGinnis was talking about this on his show, so I don't want to take this as my own thing because I thought it was such a brilliant point. But he's like, punk rock used to be like rebellious and like, what can we get away with? Young people used to be like, all the young people, teenagers used to be, rebellion was the thing.
Yeah.
And now like we've gotten our teenagers to be fucking nerds. Like young people are just fucking pussies.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid to take any chances. And we're training society to be this way. So it's like the vast majority of people were kind of turning out these fucking, this pussy generation.
Yeah.
So.
And I also think a lot of people, they don't really know what they're getting into when they go to like a comedy club. I mean, because all you see, your only like reference point is what you see on, you know, late night for 5 minutes. So when they come there, like for every person who's fucking freaked out and like yelled at a comic because they don't get it or you like hurt their feelings, there's always that person who comes up after a show and be like, dude, this is my first time at a comedy show.
Oh,
and this
shit
was fucking awesome,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, so it's like it can go either way, but I think a lot of it has
99% of people that go to comedy shows walk out going, that was the coolest experience of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The problem is, people that are unhappy have the loudest voices and want to be heard.
Especially with social media.
Yeah, social media, Yelp, all that shit. So it's like, dude, you go to somebody's Yelp, you got to realize when you do a Yelp page, 99% of the people that love that place have never written a Yelp review about it.
Right.
They're not going there for that reason. The only people that are going, the people that are writing a positive Yelp review are either fucking losers who are playing fucking house like they're food critics, or fucking
know the people that run it.
They know the people
plants,
that run it.
Plants.
Or people that loved it to another level. It was another experience. It was their fucking grandma's 90th birthday. You fucking made an experience for them. It's such a small sector of people that enjoy it that are going to go and write a positive review.
It's the same. Like when we all worked at CB's, I used to sell tickets for CB's. Comedy Corner. For every like person that would get in a fight or like yell about the bill, I also had people that came and bought tickets from me every week.
Yeah, of course.
And I had regulars that just, this is what we do on weekends.
Yeah, and they loved it and they had a great
time. But those aren't the people that are going to write the reviews.
That's it. It's always people that are unhappy that have, and that's just, that is an example of this generation and the internet in general.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you see it all the time. It's when you go to Reddit, you saw the negative shit. You understand, the vast majority of people fucking love us, but the people that hate us want to talk about it, you know?
Right.
All right, let's switch gears for a minute. Real quick, guys, I'll start doing this in the middle of the show. Go to iTunes right now, leave us a 5-star review or a 5-star rating and a positive review. Tell your friends about the show. Realize Podcast is growing. Record numbers right now, guys. Every show on Gas Digital Network right now has grown to, with the exception of Hammer Fisting, has grown to a
level.
It's
going to grow, though.
No, I know. We had a whole conversation yesterday about it.
You got me fired up, dude.
Good. Oh, I saw you change your Twitter bio.
Did I?
To include Hammer Fisting and Realize Podcast.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, was it? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Good, all right.
No, dude, come on. You don't have that much of an impact on me.
Right. Also, a 5-star review seriously go a long way. The more of them they get, the more people will see this podcast, find out about the podcast.
Exactly.
It's a huge thing to do.
It really does help out the show. So make sure you guys go and do that, and that's that. So let's talk about this really quick. Apparently, there was an elephant hunter. Where was this at, Shannon? Can you pull up the article? There's a guy who hunts elephants. Which, look, I got to be honest with you. I have no problem with elephant hunters.
What?
Who gives a fuck?
Elephants are fucking adorable, dude. Especially like the little.
It's not a puppy hunter.
Baby elephants.
It's the modern day brontosaurus. You gotta love an elephant.
But I don't.
Baby elephants are the cutest fucking thing ever, dude.
It's a dinosaur.
He's Indian, so I know he's like, he has a soft spot. I just watched this whole fucking documentary.
I didn't realize that, but I just realized what it's like.
This whole documentary about how like India, like they fucking love
elephants. I see an elephant with 6 arms. I'm putting a bullet between his fucking eyes.
You know, I'm white trash and I love fucking nacho cheese. Indians and elephants, dude.
Just a trunk comes through the window and high fives Akash.
My friends had an elephant at their wedding. They had an elephant.
No shit.
Yeah. Well, an actual elephant.
Yeah,
so are elephants big in the Indian culture?
You just see them. Like, I remember the first time I've only been to India twice.
In life. What the fuck is that sound, Shannon?
I don't know.
Is it an elephant?
No.
If it's an elephant, if it's a cartoon elephant walking onto the screen, I'm okay with it. If it's not, please make it stop, for the love of God.
You will just see elephants in India. You'll just see them.
Really?
Usually there'd be people like kind of manning them.
So the way that we have squirrels, like, you guys have elephants.
No, ain't that common. I remember the first time I was in India, I was just hanging out at one of my family's house, and then up on the road, I just saw like 3 or 4 elephants in a line being walked somewhere.
And do they hold on to the other one's tail with their trunk?
I didn't notice. I was too busy freaking out at the fact that I saw elephants to really
I think
take
I've
in
seen
everything.
An elephant like once or twice in my life. Russ Medivh used to have a great joke talking about how his ball skin looks like elephant skin.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's the exact same texture as elephant skin. But so elephants, are they an important part of the like religion or culture?
There is a deity that is an elephant.
Yeah, the six-armed elephant.
Ganesh. I don't think he has 6 arms. He might have 4, maybe. I have to double check.
What's his name?
Ganesh. G-A-N. E-S-H.
Ganesh.
Ganesh. G-A-N-E-S-H.
G-A-N-E-S-H. E-S-H. Ganesh.
That's a holiday.
Okay. So let me see. I'm going to read a little bit about Ganesh, because I got to see if this guy's worth not hunting. Is this somebody that you pray to?
Yes.
You
yes,
do?
I all do.
Right, so I don't want to disrespect your God.
I
don't want to... Because look, if you're really into religion, I don't want to.
Here's also what I believe. If I'm actually secure in something, you can't really offend me.
Okay.
I'm actually secure in the fact that I'm Indian.
Has somebody ever
Hindu.
Animated Ganesh being hunted by elephant hunters?
Do what you gotta do.
The end is just them playing a nice new piano.
I just put that together. That's super funny.
Oh, fuck, dude. Ganesh, also known as Ganapati or Vinayaka, is one of the best known and most worshipped deities of Hindu pantheon. His image is found throughout India, Sri Lanka, and Nepal. Hindu sects worship him regardless of affiliations. Devotion to Ganesha is widely diffused and extends to Jains and Buddhists. Although he is known by many attributes, his elephant head makes him easy to identify. Oh, he's just got an elephant head.
Yeah.
He does got 6 arms, you fucking asshole.
That's 4. That's what I said.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, yeah, those are his feet.
His hands.
Oh, so he's got four legs and 4 arms.
Yeah. No.
No, he's
got 2 legs, 4 arms.
1, 2 feet, 1, 2, 3, 4 arms.
I'm looking at these extra arms. What is that right? Oh, I see. That's not a foot.
Yeah, he's got the
That's
head of an elephant. Sorry.
Do you get what I'm
That's
saying?
That's a blanket, dude.
Okay, I thought that was it's a foot. Afghan, I thought that was bro. A foot, and I thought that was an arm over there.
There we go.
Okay, there he is.
Yeah, it's only an elephant head.
It really kind of looks like There's Zach. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah. Looks like what?
Zach.
Me. I have to say, The Simpsons did a good job of teaching about that, because I remembered all that from an episode with Apu when he explained
really?
It. Yes.
So
they did a very nice, respectful job with that.
So elephant hunting, you say big deal.
I think so, yeah. I mean, to kill any animal because you want their fucking, like, ivory or like, their tusk is bullshit. Because hunting is cool if you need to eat the animal. If you're just doing it to be
That's
an asshole and then you're
for
just
For sport?
If you just, yeah, why?
But
go fucking play football.
With hunting, because I grew up in the South, so I get hunting, but there is a respect with it.
Well, they
like,
were hunting your family members there.
That's also true. That's
completely respect this game. There's Hunger Games for the Sings.
Most dangerous.
Yeah. Yo, but there's like rules with it. Like there's hunting seasons for different animals. These guys don't do any of that. There's just.
Is there, Shannon, look it up. I want to, first of all, do two things. Number one, look up if there's, I know I always do this. I always ask you to look up 3 things at once and we never get to any of them. But look up if hunting of elephants is legal. Okay. And then also make another cup of coffee, please. This is what our producer. If you want coffee, you can have some.
I'm good.
The whole thing.
I'm
water.
Good.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of like killing for the sake of killing. If you're not going to eat it, and you're just going to kill it and just throw
really,
it on the fucking side of the road.
I want to kill. I kind of want to kill something.
It's cool, but there's also like
one
a
day you'll
deer
be good
season
enough.
To hunt deer. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, look, are you sure that there's no African elephant hunting seasons? Because
I think be
they
astonished.
Do. I think they do kill people.
Yeah, if you fucking stand next to it, hold a gun, yeah, they're going to hit you with their fucking trunk.
Well, that's what happened with this guy.
If
this
you threaten
guy,
their baby.
This
yeah.
guy
yeah,
was
nuts,
was hunting. Let's see. Trophy hunter trampled to death by elephant. He was trying to hunt. He was in Zimbabwe, which I'm assuming African problem. You think it's bad in India, or the African problem, the elephant problem. You think it's bad in India.
Well, I don't think it's a problem.
You go to
it's not a problem.
You go to Africa, elephants are like roaches. turn on the lights, they just scatter, trampling people.
You have no facts for this, by the way, dude. I'm watching your face, and you have absolutely. Dude, in Africa, elephants are just running around.
It's
like
crazy,
insects.
Dude. The amount of how many? Oh, let's see. How many people?
They actually had to call up fucking pest control and get rid of some of those elephants in Zimbabwe. You're such a jerk off.
Okay, how many people are killed by elephants? 500 people per year are killed by elephants.
That's nothing. How many elephants are killed a year?
Yeah, dude, how many people are killed by vending machines falling on them? It's probably similar.
Are killed by vending machines.
Probably not similar.
Donkeys kill man.
37 people were killed.
I mean, that's, you could get rid of vending machines for
ever.
Sure.
From 1978 to 1995, Zach.
That's 37 more than are necessary.
Yeah, but what happened?
Zach's been telling himself that fact to keep himself away from vending machines for years.
Yeah, but that's only until 95.
No, it must be true. What?
Yeah, but that's only until 95. I mean, we have way more now.
That is true. We also...
And now they have Snapple machines.
Now we have the ones where you put your credit card in. Your credit card gets stuck. You try to bang it. It falls on you. So maybe you're right.
I've cry chopped the fuck out of a vending machine
before. We used to rob vending machines like crazy.
Really? How'd
for
you do
money.
That?
We used to take it was an old trick. You take a water gun and you fill it with salt water. Like you just take literally table salt and you pour it with water. You fill the water gun with salt water, like really, really concentrated salt water. It would have to be the old ones, no computers or mechanics, just the old mechanical ones. And you spray it directly into the change slot. So there's no dollar slot. It's just the ones with the change. If you keep on spraying it, after like 5 minutes, change just starts pouring out. So me and my buddy James Ciccone, we would just rob every vending machine.
That's dope as fuck.
I mean, you'd make like 15, 20 bucks each time. Great. As like a 10-year-old kid, it was just awesome.
Yeah, me and my friends.
You're 10?
Yeah, 10, 12.
Me and my friends just did in the, it was like one of those like anarchist cookbook kind of things.
Yeah, it was the same thing.
It was on the certain computerized ones, there was a code on certain Coke machines that if you press the buttons in the right order, opened up the menu and you could adjust the prices.
Oh, nice.
So you could.
What an awesome fat guy trick.
Yeah.
I was getting like, candy bars for a penny.
It was like if you pressed all of them in the right order, like Simon, you could like adjust the price to like 5 cents per bottle.
Oh, hilarious.
Dude, I love it, dude. I love Zach. Because you're like, I fucking robbed a vending machine. Zach's like, I got free sodas, dude. 5 cents really each.
So, look, elephant hunting. Did we figure it out, Shannon?
Yes. So, in most...
Oh, I hate how good you fucking sound.
She sounds,
I know, right?
It's incredible.
It's insanity.
She's holy like, yes. Fuck.
Make your mic sound bad.
I want you to.
It's fucking killing me.
How about from back here?
Yes.
Okay.
Stop good. Eating it so much.
Okay.
Talk about those elephants.
So in most African countries, it is legal.
See?
In Zimbabwe, it's legal. Kenya, however, has legally stopped game hunting and is now... Yeah, it's... So Kenya is the only one that's made it illegal.
Yeah, I mean, there's bigger problems in Africa besides the elephants.
I agree with that.
The Africans.
I agree with that.
Yeah, when are they going to get rid of this?
There's that Boca... What's the... Boca Raton?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of it.
What's the fucking terrorist group? Boko?
I don't know. You'd think I would know. I don't.
I'm not that ignorant. I know they don't have terrorists in India.
Well, we hate Muslims, so you would think I would know, but I don't.
Do you guys have Muslims in India?
Hindus and
do,
Muslims,
right?
Yeah. Oh, India's got second most Muslims in the world, too, I think. Bangladesh?
Yeah.
But, yeah, but there's a lot of conflict with Hindus and Muslims.
Yeah, when I took classes at NJCU, there was like a big, there was like the Indian and the Pakistani, there was like a big.
Oh, yeah?
Big conflict.
We brought it to the States?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
surprising.
It's so funny because, like, this is kind of like a hack joke. Like, people talk about it all the time, but it's like Puerto Ricans and Dominicans.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Hindus and
Muslims.
Muslims, apparently.
Armenians and Turks.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, white people are literally going like, what? Are you fucking crazy?
And we all just like whoever's light-skinned. That's what I always say.
Yeah. Jim Norton's got that joke. I thought it was one man yelling into a mirror.
Whose joke is that?
Norton.
Oh, great. So yeah, I don't really have a problem with the hunting of African elephants. Okay. And this guy was hunting an African elephant and, he was trampled to death by the elephant. Okay. Yeah. Ian Gibson took a group of American hunters out to Zimbabwe's Zambezi Valley where the elephants are particularly, aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I just made that fact up.
Dude.
In the hopes of shooting a young bull elephant he'd been tracking, according to a statement written by AfricanHunting.com. Now, that's the other thing. When you're hunting African elephant, you're not just going out like, oh, I got a fucking pistol. Let me find an elephant and shoot him in his fucking head, right?
Right.
You're tracking this motherfucker for weeks, I'm assuming.
Right.
Months. Who knows how long? Who knows how long you have to track one of these elephants?
Sure.
It's a fucking game, okay? You're out there. There's also lions and tigers out there. There's alligators everywhere. It's a dangerous game, okay? And one bullet isn't going to kill an elephant. You have to fucking, you have to be a precise marksman in order to kill an elephant. I made up all of that just now.
Yeah. I wasn't listening to any of it. Here, I was just trying to
complete
think.
Complete horseshit the entire time. I was thinking about what I was going to do later. I was like, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I have no idea. But it all, I thought it sounded pretty good, right?
I don't think they track. I don't think
it's
they.
It's that attracts
like,
him?
Yeah, but not for months. I don't think they like watch him drink water. That's psycho, dude. If you're going to follow a fucking elephant around, just watch him drink water and have a good time. And then you're like, 3 months from now, I'm going to take his life. Like, you can just watch him have.
Just smelling his girlfriend's panties.
That's a fucking psycho.
Listen, I think any animal that's endangered, we get protective of. You know what I mean? Tigers, elephants, Jews, whatever. It's but we just get, I think, elephants also, the fact that they're so big and they don't hurt us for the most part. It's like there's something kind of dope about
500
that
people a year, Akash.
That ain't shit, 500 people a year. They
how
can
many
destroy
people,
the world.
How many Americans a year are dying by the hands of ISIS?
Yeah, like how many hunting accidents are
by the way, like none. Like two or three at the most. Why are we, all the media is talking about is ISIS, whereas Africans are fucking killing people left and right?
Because when they do kill, it's not one at a time. It's a bunch of people at one time.
And what, elephants?
No, ISIS.
You don't know?
I know as much as you do about elephants, fuckhead.
Elephants are killing people willy-nilly, and we're just letting it go unchecked.
Let's be honest, 500 deaths a year in Africa.
And how many Americans are ISIS killing a year, Shannon? Look it up right now.
Yeah, but you got to also look up how many Africans are starving to death, and it's like,
yeah, we should kill hunger in Africa as well. You're right. I'm with you.
So I'm saying, I'm with you. There's bigger problems, but elephants
killing. Okay, but are elephants killing anybody that's innocent? Like, I feel like if an elephant kills you, you were fucking around with an elephant.
No, that's not true. I guarantee you elephants are just trampling through town looking for peanuts, stomping on little fucking kids. Guaranteed.
Well, they must be doing a lot of stomping around Africa. I don't know if they have a lot of peanuts out there.
Look it up, Shannon. Are there peanuts in Africa?
You have a lot to look up.
We're going to find out everything today on the Real Ass Podcast. We do no prep for the show, but we learn a lot.
And they actually
the
don't really eat peanuts. They
Shannon learns
they
a lot.
They love bananas.
Are they really afraid of mice? I always wondered that.
I don't know. That'd be crazy.
And is there any sort of god that's based off a mouse creature?
There's a statue of Ganesh. There's always a mouse under his foot. I forget the story behind that, but there's always a mouse. If you look at any image of Ganesh, there's a mouse under his foot.
He doesn't see him. He's like, oh!
No, that's something symbiotic. I don't remember.
That was my Jesus. So what do we figure out, Shannon?
Okay, so this is ISIS attacks around the world.
I wanted to know America, but go ahead. It's okay.
It's 1,200 people.
Total.
Outside of Iraq and Syria.
Total. Yeah. Total. Okay. Yeah. So in the past 3 years, elephants have committed more atrocity toward the world than ISIS. And you're going to sit here and tell me that we shouldn't be hunting elephants because you fucking pray to one. Yeah.
Dude, I want you to go grab a chalkboard and some chalk, and you fucking write that math out that you just did, because I don't understand what you're talking about.
Are you kidding?
1,200 a year, she said, right?
1,200, no, 1,200 total. Total people have been killed by ISIS. 1,200. It's a big deal, right? No, the problem is because elephants
have been in, like, hunt. Dude, if someone's trying to hunt you and you kill them, then it's okay. It's a scratch. Dude,
please, how great would
yeah,
be
Running
if,
Man.
Yeah.
How great would it be if there's a video of just...
Oh,
three
elephants
with
ski masks?
In hoods, yeah. And they're fucking beheading Americans.
And people are like, those aren't real elephants. They have gold jewelry on.
Do we know how many elephants are killed every year?
How many elephants are killed every year?
Was going to ask Shannon, but I was like, it's my
No, you can, ask, you can dude, ask. You can ask Shannon for anything you want, and I mean anything. I mean anything, Akash.
All right.
You're a guest here on the show. She will fucking comply. She doesn't comply. You tell me. We have problems. Shannon, how many elephants are killed every year?
It says 40,000.
So yeah, we're fucking.
We are killing
the war on elephants. I gotta be honest with you. They gotta pick up their game.
Elephants.
Now, how many members of ISIS are we killing
every
year?
Elephants only kill 500.
Yeah,
that's a big ass whooping. 40,000 to 500.
We're fucking destroying.
They're
it.
Way behind, dude.
What am I gonna say? Look, they're stupid animals. Okay, what am I gonna say? Their whole technique is just to run at you. I mean, in the time it takes them to run at you, that's a pretty big target.
Oh yeah, they're done.
Dude, I gotta tell you. So I have this thing for elephants because I watched this like documentary and there was this drought and this camera crew followed this like big elephant and her little daughter. And the little daughter died of thirst, and I was just fucking traumatized.
The daughter elephant
was up. Yes,
good. You guys, so it would have grown up to be a murderer.
So the camera crew just like had to sit back and watch this little baby die. Well, they're just drinking Aquafina.
Yeah.
They had all this water, and the guy actually had this like interview and was like, "Yeah, we felt terrible, but we couldn't like
we can't interfere." That was a Ren and Stimpy, right? There was an episode where they couldn't interfere with nature.
And ever since then, it's horrible. And that mom
saw a documentary.
Was just fucking crying.
You saw Ren and Stimpy.
I saw an episode of Ren and Stimpy where he collected his boogers in a box. Your turn.
That's why Tinkle carries the big water with him all the time in case he sees a dying baby elephant.
That's right. Because they see a little baby elephant. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Fuck that baby elephant. Dude,
Tinkle's tried to give me water 5 times today.
I was like, dude, are you parched? You look a little thirsty, Zachy.
I mean, I think we're really, for some reason, we're putting elephants in the cute, fluffy creature category, and they're not, okay? Mm. They're big, giant, murderous dinosaurs.
They're not as murderous as they could be, though, and that's dope.
Yeah, I guess they could be worse.
They could go fucking nuts, dude. They're huge.
Yeah, they're not motherfuckers like hippos
dude,
are.
Dude, that fucking trunk has kill so many, people. Like,
hippos are cocksuckers.
Muscles in it? That sounded really weird out of context.
Yeah.
That fucking trunk, though, it could do some damage, dude.
How many people per year do hippos kill? I got it, Shannon. Don't worry.
Hippos are dope, too.
Hippos are
Shannon,
sons of
I
bitches.
I got it, babe. Don't you worry about it.
Hippos are sons of bitches.
Whoa!
Hippos are mean motherfuckers, dude.
Time the fuck out.
That's right.
I want you guys to guess.
10,000.
I want you. All right, that's your guess. I want you to guess how many people per year hippos.
35,000.
This is crazy.
Are these homicides or are these like accident? Like,
what?
Well, I don't know. Are they
is it murder
deaths?
One?
Murder
is it manslaughter?
Is it manslaughter?
Yeah, was it like drunk driving hippos? Like, that motherfucker's gonna pay right there.
How was you trying to rough him up, baby? No, I don't know how many premeditated murders hippos are committing.
Yeah, dude, the hippo is like fucking tracking the human, dude, for a couple months and watching him walk and he's watching, oh, he loves that TV show. He watches documentaries. I'm going to kill that motherfucker.
How many people do you think are killed per year by hippos?
9,000.
I said 35.
35,000. You did the opposite Price is Right game rule. You just you box yourself out of a possible victory here.
That's awesome. I should have said 9,001.
Yeah. Well, he said 10,000. You would have boxed yourself out worse. Shannon, how many people do you think per year?
20,000.
655,000 people per year.
Are hippos you killed? Fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Hippos are—they're worse than Americans are to mammals.
Do they
elephants.
Have guns and drive? What the fuck? How do they kill so many people?
It's mostly through spreading malaria.
Oh, well, there we go.
But they also. Yeah.
Jesus.
It's not mostly through homicide. That was a valid question.
Yeah, it actually was.
They're just carriers.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're just basically what white people were to Native Americans.
Yeah, this is actually the top.
Yeah, but hippos have the nicest fault, blankets.
Yeah.
11 animals more likely to kill you than sharks. This is a blog. Mosquitoes kill 655,000 people per year.
Jesus.
Same as hippos?
Through malaria. Oh, wait, you know what? Actually. I'm fucking wrong about
hippos.
You're
looking at mosquitoes?
No, here's what I fucked up.
Oh, shit. It's like
I thought hippo was spelled M-O-S-Q.
It's like 7, and it's only one hippo that has an attitude problem. You fucking jerk off. Here we go.
I found it weird that mosquitoes and hippos were neck and neck in the world murderous race.
They're like the Crips and the Bloods.
And it was also, they're spreading malaria. How are hippos spreading malaria?
I thought maybe through like the water, but.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to question.
I did have a question mark.
Oh, that's really fucking funny, dude. Hippos kill 2,900 people per year.
That's still good, though.
9,001.
Still a good number.
I win.
Oh, shit. That's really funny, dude. Deer kill 130 people a year.
That's probably by being hit by cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Totaling the car.
Yeah, you commit suicide by deer carcass. Bees kill 53 people every year. Wow. Dogs kill 30 to 35 people a year.
We gotta get rid of dogs.
Dogs gotta step their game up, dude.
Yeah. No, dogs. Look, I get why cops pull their guns out and blast dogs in the face as soon as they approach them. I mean, a pit bull or like a rot?
Oh, yeah. That's scary.
Yeah, I'm going home to my kid. So, have fun. Yeah, then jellyfish kills some people. That's it. I mean, so I guess here's the point of this, because now we're all the way down to rattlesnakes kill 5.5 people a year.
You're a puss.
Sharks kill less than 6 people.
How do you kill half a person? Hold on a minute. How do you kill half a person?
I don't know, Zach, say something clever.
11 people over the last 2 years.
Yeah, we get it. That was a literal answer. Akash, we get it. Okay, you're smart.
I mean, no one had anything. You said say something smart.
We wanted something funny, okay? Something funny for the answer.
You said say something smart, dog.
I said clever. Clever. Even the literal answer.
And that's why I was over here like, don't say midget. Don't say midget. I was like, don't do it. It's so easy. Fucking right there. Just don't. Whatever you do.
I wanted something more clever than midget. I got to be honest.
I know. That's why I was holding on to it.
So that's it. So this guy gets trampled. And you know what the general consensus is? You know what the general consensus is?
What's that?
Fuck this guy for hunting an elephant.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
So everyone's like, good, this guy, I'm glad that he's dead. Even though he probably has kids. Okay? Even though he's probably does actual good for the world. He's hunting legally in Zimbabwe, where African elephants are killing African people at alarming rates. But we just immediately... I don't feel that way. I don't believe that somebody who hunts... Well, good for them. They were killed.
No, but it's what we were saying earlier about the heckler, dude. She came into fucking our house, and like, ooh, this guy came into fucking the elephant's house, and the elephant's like, you know, it's fucking go time. Hey, I don't go to your job and kick the fries out of your... So that's my elephant impression, crushing on the mic.
You can go on an elephant trophy hunting trip. You can just take excursions. The African elephant is the world's largest land mammal, stands more than 11 feet at shoulder, and can weigh over 7 tons. Look at this. They have all these pairs. So you can book. Let's go with the prices. How much does it cost?
It's got to be like $20,000.
It has to be a lot of money.
Nothing, dude. It's nothing.
How much is it?
One-on-one hunter experience. You go with one professional hunter. It's $420 per night. You got to get to Africa. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
$420 per night.
You also have to get a gun and ammo, and then
I'm sure that there's a bunch of add-ons. It's like when you buy a new cell phone, you're like, well, you're like, oh, yeah, the cell phone's $600, but then the fucking case and the fucking extra, all the extras and the protection plan.
$1,000 a bullet.
Yeah, exactly. So, if you guys want to hunt African elephants, it's really not that expensive, guys. I say go for it. I say you'd be ridding the world of another pest. Let's go with the MMA segment real quick, Shannon.
Here's your go-to for all things in the world of MMA. It's the Matty Jester Skulls Hammer Fisting segment of the day. Let's get it on!
All right. UFC 205 is right around the corner, guys. Akash, big UFC fan, watching it all?
Nothing about UFC.
It's okay. We don't. We keep it very palpable for the casuals.
Are there any Indian fighters off the top of your head?
No. I know a couple who fought amateurs.
Dalseem.
There's been a few. There's an Indian actual promotion that's out of India called...
That's right.
What's that Indian promotion called, Tinkle?
It's all... Yeah, it's pretty much dudes that are like Owen...
No, but they get some Super Fight League.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. Like,
that's great.
Like, I'm sure in Indian, like the translation is all, it sounds badass.
No. We know. Super Fight League. That's what we'll call it.
It's like the toys you see in the dollar store. They're like old wrestlers, they repainted.
Yeah. Do you speak any sort of Hindu languages?
I speak Hindi, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I almost nailed it. I said Hindu languages. That's pretty good. How do you say Super Fight League in Hindi?
Super, I don't know. Acha is good. We don't know if we have a word for super, but we always use super for like English stuff.
Okay, so
just throw that on everything.
That's like, so that is very on brand for the Indians.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Super Fight League. Okay. So this is an Indian fight promotion. And there's a bunch of Indian fighters that, you know, they beat each other up. They haven't had any success in the American promotions, but that's okay. You know, it's coming around. Do they have like wrestling in colleges in India?
Not that. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but I don't really know, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just not a big thing there. Like, in American culture, the reason that MMA is so big in America, we've dominated, is because we have a wrestling base, yeah. And everybody, even the lowest level guys, at least have a little bit of amateur experience, and that goes a very, very long way in MMA. That skill set really helps. So when you go to England or Ireland, the reason why Bisping and Conor McGregor are so impressive is because they're beating dudes who grew up wrestling, and these guys didn't wrestle a day in their lives until they started training MMA later in their lives. But the point of all this is the UFC 205 is right around the corner, and I figured, just for some of the fans, let's just watch the trailer, because it's the best trailer for anything that I've ever seen in my life. If you're not, I want to see if this moves you at all.
I'm very
Akash.
Curious. I was just, yeah.
Because you don't give a fuck at all. But let me give you a little backstory.
I know
backstory.
A little about McGregor. Is he fighting in this one?
He is fighting in this one.
Okay.
And the UFC, after years and years and years and years and years of being banned from New York, we just were made legal in New York. So MMA, you can now do it at the Garden. And we're having the first official fight ever at Madison Square Garden. And it's a big deal because MMA is now the premier combat sport in the world. And the Garden has so much history with boxing and combat sports.
Yeah.
It's just, I didn't care and really until I saw this trailer is when I started caring. I was like, ah, fuck, that they got me.
Yeah, I told you, dude.
That was it. They got me with the trailer. So go ahead, play it. I mean, I've sat in the TikTok diner before.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I mean, gives me goosebumps every fucking time. Every time. Did that do anything for you?
Yeah, it was a cool trailer, but I'm not paying for anything. Yeah. I'm not going to a party.
Yeah, you would.
I'll read about it on ESPN.
He just watched one of the top fighters in the world like have a fucking cup of coffee. They don't really show any ass whooping.
It doesn't. You know what, dude? Here's the thing,
you kind of have to know who they are to get excited. Maybe.
No, I don't think that's true. I think that when they start dropping in the little audio clips where they're like, at the Garden, blah,
oh, yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, it's just, it's a little movie right there, you know? And I think that the people who aren't fight fans, they've seen fights, they don't watch fights. So I think showing clips of people being badasses and fighting, we've become numb to it. People fighting in a cage is no longer a thing where you're flipping through the channels and you're like, oh my God, whoa, there's two guys fighting in a cage. It's fucking on ESPN. It's on Fox. It's legitimately a mainstream sport now. So I think they need to do stuff like this in order to get casual people like, oh, fuck, that looks cool. That was a little motion picture. That was Steven Spielberg in fucking 2 minutes right there. That was amazing to me. You have terrible taste. That's your problem, Akash.
When you said Steven Spielberg, yeah. I was like, okay. All right.
Yeah, I know, right? That was exactly like Schindler's List.
Relax.
You're right, Lewis.
That is every playoff montage you've ever seen in your life. You watch football,
know,
right?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't watch any sports.
So fucking new to you. This is every year.
Fucking bullshit Suicide Squad music.
Yeah, that's been happening for like 10 years.
Some ladies walking through happening. Grand Central
that
Station.
That was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire lives.
Baseball playoffs just did that like
I a have month video ago. Of my son being born. I would keep that over the video of my son being born.
They should have just had the fighters beat up homeless people.
I've been
UFC
into that.
Comes to New York.
I'd have been into that.
Shannon, move the camera so me and Zach are centered. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. So that does nothing for you guys.
Oh no!
It does for you. You're pumped.
Zach,
you,
dude.
Meh. Looks cool.
It was cool. Yeah, it was cool.
Whatever.
Because they're not fans. They don't give a shit.
Also, sports montages are brand new to you. This is the first one you've seen.
No, I've seen. They've done them in the UFC before. This is the best one they've done in the UFC.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. This is very cutting edge for UFC. This is very standard for every other.
This is a new level right here, guys. They've put the key into the lock. They've turned it. They've opened a door. We've never been down this road before. You have no idea what's happening right now, and they're changing the game.
Yeah.
It's like they showed video and then they put like this awesome song behind it.
It was a great song too. What song was that?
This
Shannon?
Is our time. That's a perfect.
It's a great song right
perfect
there.
Perfect choice for song. Yo, it's crazy how much love TikTok Diner gets. There was an MTV Movie or Music Awards, one of those. They did a performance in TikTok Diner.
Yeah, because it's very New York, but it's a shit diner actually.
Yeah, I like it.
It's a shit diner. There's way better diners.
What's your diner?
Where's my diner? There's one in Gramercy that I go to a lot. I forget the name
like
of
Tom's
it, but it's right, on right off 23rd and Park.
Okay.
There's one there that's really good. There's a lot of great diners in New York City. It's New York. I grew up in the suburbs, too, where like Greek diners were a fucking thing. Do they have them?
No.
You said you grew up in
IHOP
Texas,
is
right?
IHOP diner in Texas.
Yeah.
IHOP, Waffle House.
I actually did Waffle House for the first time in my entire life on this past tour that we did. Excellent. Why is nobody talking about Waffle House?
Oh, they talk about Waffle House in the South.
Do they?
Atlanta Waffle House is like the spot.
A Denny's, I like a Denny's.
Denny's is all right.
Yeah, Denny's all right.
You know why I like those places? Because you know what you're going to get. We're never going to have a debate, is the TikTok diner good or what's better, fucking Carl's diner? No. You know
franchises,
what you
baby. You know what you're getting.
It's no problem.
Love big business.
Yeah. I'm with you, too. I have no problem with big business.
Run the world. I don't care.
Nate Bargatze has that great joke about Walmart.
Walmart.
Yeah, he's like, what, you're mad because they figured it out? They did it the best out of everybody?
They support mom-and-pop stores. Walmart started as a mom-and-pop store, and then they got their shit together.
Yeah. I fucking love it. So, all right, whatever. UFC's coming to New York. Nobody gives a fuck in the room.
You know what would be cool if they had just done the Seinfeld Diner?
What's up?
If they had just done the Seinfeld Diner and then it was just the fighters like doing Seinfeld.
Yeah, I'd have been into that.
All right, Halloween's coming up. Do you you celebrate?
Nah, I don't ever do shit.
Is it against your culture to celebrate?
No, no, no.
They don't give a shit.
No, we don't care. But yeah. I feel like I'm too old.
Because I grew up in with a lot of Hispanic kids, like legitimate fucking Christian Hispanics. And there's a lot of sects of Christianity where you're not allowed to celebrate Halloween.
Really?
So I had a lot of friends who weren't allowed to celebrate Halloween because it was like the devil's holiday.
Oh, I bet they're going nuts now.
Yeah.
All repressed and all that.
Yeah, just fucking dudes. Yeah, just sucking dicks in bathroom stalls.
On like, Halloween only.
I needed to eat candy.
Painting skulls on their faces and killing chickens.
Yeah. So Halloween obviously is a big holiday to you, Zach.
Yeah. This is the 1 month a year I'm viable. This whole character doesn't work 11 months of the year.
It really is like you're dressed up like Santa Claus for the whole year.
Yeah.
Except
there was like, Jesus, dude, it's June. You must be dying in that thing.
Yeah. That's hilarious. And Tick, what about you?
I can take it or leave it. If I end up at a Halloween party with my girlfriend or something, it's fine.
Would you get dressed up?
Fuck, dude. I don't think I've got dressed up in a long time.
Last time I got dressed up. You're a fucking grumpy old man.
What's up?
You're grumpy.
I mean, I don't really give a shit. I mean, my girlfriend is a grumpy old woman, so we both like.
See, my girl's 23, so she really wants to dress up. Luckily, I got a show, so I don't.
I bet you year. Akash has a fucking smoking hot chick.
100%. She's a beautiful girl.
Yeah, dude.
Because he's the best looking Indian guy I've ever seen in my entire life.
He has beautiful eyes.
He's a fucking handsome
guy. I think the first time. The first time I ever met you at a comedy show, I think I said something just because I was awkward. I was like, God damn, I could just got
great
lost eyes, in this dude's
great
eyes.
Lips, great smile.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's all fuck after this.
Yeah.
Is your girlfriend white?
Oh, I could definitely dance. No, she's Indian
chick.
Oh, really? No shit.
But I bet it's the hottest Indian chick alive.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. If you got married, would you guys have to do one of those like song and dances? Like in the movies?
I would want to. I'm going to have to.
My
family members get married, we do a dance. It's like this weird thing that we've all just kind of like, this is what it is. I don't know if there's no religious thing. It's become a cultural thing.
But like, in India, that's like, people do that.
Yeah.
You guys have rehearsals?
A choreographed dance.
You and your other family members or family friends or whatever will just like choreograph a dance and you'll do it.
Do the really rich families hire a professional choreographer?
I don't think so. I would think, if I saw that, I'd be disgusted.
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck is Paula Abdul doing here? Like, oh yeah, we're
Paula Abdullah?
Abdullah.
It's the Indian version.
But yeah, I wouldn't.
MC Scat Cat.
I wouldn't do a dance at my own wedding though. Unless like they like a lot of times they'll like bring the groom up and he'll do a dance for his wife.
Right.
Which I'd also be down for.
How long have you been with your chick?
Coming up on a year in like 2 weeks.
Okay, so it's new. So let's not get into the marriage talk just yet.
She's wifey.
You fucking love her. She's smoking. Yeah. You love her. She's the best chick you've ever met.
Absolutely.
Does she love your career?
Yeah. No, she's actually supportive.
She doesn't give you any shit about it?
No, she's actually been very supportive. There's times where I'm like, I should sit out this show, and she's like, do not.
Yeah. You're also like, successful enough now where it's cool. Like, she's not having to deal with the fucking that.
Yeah, I didn't even bother dating back then. I never even looked for girls back then. I was like, it's not. I'm not putting any girl through this or myself through.
Well, it's embarrassing because the thing is, like, we're trying to put our best foot forward. Like, in life, even when you meet a chick, for the first 3 to 6 months, you're like, you're giving them the best version of you.
Oh, it's all lies. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's all lies.
It's all bullshit.
And then they have to go watch you fucking bark outside of a comedy room. And all of that coolness is just completely washed away.
So, yeah, when you're on stage, Andrew's always talk about this. You're a rock star in that 15, and then you get off stage and you are nobody. So to this girl, she meets you on stage, you're incredible, and then you're eating a grilled cheese sandwich for dinner.
Yeah, you can't afford fucking.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, like, I've gone to auditions and bought clothes and then returned them after the audition.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, and there's nothing sexy or cool or fun about that. I've actually done that way more recently than I should have. I really have. It's because I did not. I needed to dress a certain way, and there's nothing that I would have ever kept in my wardrobe.
Right.
So I definitely did that like 6 months ago. But there's nothing cool about it. But now she gets to see you've been on TV a bunch at this point.
Yeah,
you're currently on TV, right?
Yeah. Her friends think it's cool, and
they think it's fucking great.
Yeah, which I think helps.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's gonna celebrate Halloween this year.
Her and her friends are going out.
Does she dress like a whore?
I don't know, but...
Because is this your first Halloween together?
Yes.
This is a big moment now.
Yeah.
Because she goes out, she's like, I'm going to be a Victoria's Secret angel, and she's just wearing wings and underwear.
I mean...
Are you okay with it?
I'm trying, yeah. I trust her. We're
completely
good.
Secure.
I'm glad you are, because I'm
furious. There's definitely moments where I'm insecure, but stuff like this, I'm like, dress how you want to dress, huh?
But she's a good chick.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I, it's fucking, yeah, it's good to have trust. I have no trust in my relationship, but that's okay.
How long y'all been together?
I do it to myself. I don't even know. I don't put timestamps on things.
That's a good cover.
No, yeah.
That's a good
nice cover.
Cover.
Yeah. You're such a jerk off. Dude, I was going
to
say.
He's had to put timestamps on when he mentioned they were dating so we could take it out of the podcast.
Yeah. Lots of time jumps.
Yeah. No, it's good for you, dude. Good. You got a smoking hot chick that you can trust. Was she? Because here's the thing. I assume when I meet an Indian chick, because I've hooked up with a couple Indian chicks or Pakistani chicks, typically they've been, like, good chicks. For some reason, I feel like the family structure is always pretty strong, and they always, like, they're like nice chicks.
Yeah.
One time, I fucked this Pakistani chick that she just was, like, trying to rebel hard. Like,
you definitely get some of that. That's
she tried to suck my buddy Forrest's dick. We got drunk, and she was like, let me suck your friend's dick while you fuck me. And I was like, whoa, you are fucking.
Wow.
And her parents were, like, trying to set her up in an arranged marriage. She was just trying to do whatever.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, my Pakistani chick was the same. Remember I told the bear hunter? The girl that added me on OKCupid, Bear Hunter.
Yeah,
and
hilarious.
I fucked her, and then it was like 3 in the morning. She's like, do you have any other big, fat, hairy friends who'll come over and fuck me right now?
Wow.
Hilarious.
Was she hot? Girls out
no,
she's
enormous
it,
with hairy armpits.
Oh, disgusting. Disgusting. Yeah, it's not the hottest culture, I gotta be honest with you. Indians and Pakistanis. This is why you stand out even more, because you are a legitimately handsome dude by any standards.
Thank you.
But by the Indian standards, you know you're crushing it.
Yeah. 5'7" is a hard height to crush.
Oh, yeah,
though.
I guess you're small. You're a little bit smaller.
Yeah, that's a very humbling thing.
But you're not short enough where I look at you and I'm like, oh, this is a fucking tiny dude.
I'm not Kevin Hart short.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right at the cusp.
I think this is like the lowest acceptable
actually
height.
It is. Yeah, 5'7" is right above. Like, oh man, he's like a tall midget.
Yeah.
So, but you come off like a good looking dude. That's the thing when you get an Indian chick or like you know, a chick from that part of the world that's beautiful, she ends up being 10 times hotter than any other fucking chick.
See, I've always, not always, for the last, like, 15 years or whatever, I've been all about Indian girls. So, it's, to
Indian
me,
girls.
I'm good.
Yeah. I feel like we have this freedom as brown people. Like, I can say that I'm not attracted to a white chick.
I was just about to say that. I'm not attracted to them at all, but they're my least,
really?
I'm least attracted
that's
to white
women. That's crazy to me, because white is right.
Yeah, I know. That's
that
bullshit.
That is crazy, dude. They are definitely in first place.
Yeah, what are you
fucking
about?
Nuts?
No, not to me. I've definitely seen some white girls. I'm like, oh, this girl. Yeah,
Lewis is trying to fuck his way into a decent credit score.
Yeah. Look, dude, I'll tell you right now, man. White chicks have always been the shit for me. For as long as I can remember, white chicks were just fucking awesome, you know? But do you guys put white as the number one, or do you go the opposite? I assume that everyone always likes something a little different.
Yeah, Latin girls are probably number one.
Yeah.
And, dude, I said it before, but that chick from fucking Slumdog, I think, is one of the most beautiful women.
Pull up a picture of her.
In the world. Like, she's, like, probably my top three of all. She is so hot.
I liked her really early in the movie when she was 10.
Well, she's in my top. You're so bad.
Yeah. Ooh, hey. You're so bad. Yeah, so you're not into white, but that's not considered racism. People don't care about that.
I don't know how they would.
People don't give a shit. It's once again, it goes back to white guys just having to take it on the chin.
Oh, yeah.
A white guy can't go, I'm not attracted to black chicks.
Good oh, Christ. Absolutely
dude.
Not.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Oh, dude, she
it's
is.
Insane.
But she could be Puerto Rican. Let's get real.
Yeah.
Shannon, I know that you don't have balls.
None of these other women. You're bringing
can
up
you
other
scroll
women.
Up and show the one where she's wearing the, there we go, in the black. Right. With the
yeah, she's hot. That's I'm into that. That's fine. Frida Pinto.
Yeah.
She hasn't aged a lick.
No, she's gorgeous.
So what do they do they celebrate Halloween in India? No, they don't.
I'm sure at this point, yeah, because India's getting much more like westernized.
Okay.
Especially big cities. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was like Halloween parties and people are out drinking and whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked at all.
I don't really celebrate Halloween. Like, the same way that I'm not even into, like, I never really got into partying for the sake of partying. I liked it for, like, the little kid aspect of it. Like, I legitimately enjoyed getting dressed up and fucking, and now I
That's
have a
great.
Kid, so I have an excuse, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I never really felt completely out of, like, getting dressed up and just having, like, a good time on Halloween, you know? When's the last time you got dressed up?
Last time I got dressed up, my brother and I, we got luchador masks and my dad's wife made us capes, and we were like the Los Tinklos tag team, and it was a pretty sick outfit, dude.
Yeah.
They were pretty great.
And do you want no shirt?
What's up?
No shirt?
I did, but my brother, you know, he's a little chubby. So I did for like an hour, and then I put a tank top on because it was cold, and, you know, also, I, you know.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I wasn't in that great shape back then. So.
The motivation that women have to be whores on Halloween.
It's insane.
It's freezing out, and they're like, I need to fucking show my pussy lips.
I've seen
so many vaginas, dude, by accident on Halloween.
Really?
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, last year this girl, like, fell down the street and just legs just bloop.
And did you stop and stare?
I was with Pam, so I was like, oh, man, that was tragic, but I mean.
Pam, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah.
I'm going to stay back and help. Shannon, do you dress up like a whore for Halloween?
Yep, that's a yes.
Definitely
that's
yes.
A yes. Okay. That was a long pause.
But I usually bartend, so I make money that way.
Right, dressing whore.
Then you have a Halloween outfit every Saturday, basically, right?
Yeah.
Not as much like Halloween, but this year all the bartenders were coordinating outfits. They're all going to be like cats.
You're going to be cats?
Yeah. Oh, so geez. You're just going to be whores with ears?
Yeah.
She's going to draw a little black dot on her nose, put ears on, and her tits are going to be out.
My girl sent me a slutty Ghostbusters outfit. I remember you asked what outfits will people slut up this year.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking this would have sold. This movie wouldn't have flopped.
It would have been a better movie.
Yeah.
It's awful, by the way.
Yeah, there's a movement to say it's good.
No.
Apparently.
Because you're a misogynist if you don't like that movie.
Yeah, you can't just say I didn't fucking like it.
Yeah.
My mom, who's old and loves everything and wants everyone to get like a trophy, was like, this is fucking terrible.
Here's the slutty Ghostbuster outfit. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I guarantee you that there's be girls wearing that.
Of course there will be.
Of course.
Busted makes her feel good.
And by the way, that's from 2013. Now throw that outfit on.
What I would have killed to see any that of the Ghostbusters. That movie, huh? Oh.
It'll be a problem.
What's James's costume this year?
He's going to be Dracula. We're all going to be Dracula.
The entire family's gonna be Dracula.
Yeah, we have to.
That's cute.
Yeah, I'm like, James, what are you gonna be for Halloween? He's like, Dracula. I was like, what do you want me to be? He's like, Dracula.
That's super cute.
Dracula. So we all gotta do it. Yeah, but I'm also I don't know. I'm supposed to do a Legion of Skanks show where I'm supposed to dress up as Goldust. Which I have a great like look for Goldust. You could really turn me into Goldust pretty easily.
I can see that.
When's the last time you got dressed up?
I think I was like 14.
14.
I actually didn't do a ton of effort. I would always just go with the laziest gift and get candy. Best gift I ever did was I was Elf 1 year.
Elf.
Elf. Remember Elf?
Yeah.
That's the best.
And what, you just bought a mask?
Yeah, I think I had a whole thing. I had a mask and like a suit.
Store-bought costumes just got awful. Let's put a little creativity into it, okay? Who is that? Oh, hey.
Hey.
Sammy, oh, thanks. You're just giving us pot? I love how, Sammy, you can interrupt the show literally anytime you want.
Yeah, anytime you want.
This is Ralph's girlfriend, who, we're just going to call you his girlfriend. You're his girlfriend, okay, in our mind.
15,000 people right now think you're his girlfriend.
For the sake of this show, you're his girlfriend.
You're not on camera, so they're just picturing the Bride of Frankenstein. Don't worry.
Yeah, no. Come get on camera for a minute. Show the fans how hot you are again. I can't get over it. Come over here. Come between me and Zach. I can't get over how hot Sammy is and how Ralph could possibly bed this chick. Not only is she this hot, she just interrupts the show. She's like, hey, guys, I got weed. Anybody want weed? And she just handed us a bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An amazing woman.
Dude. It's impressive.
And her shirt was see-through.
Oh, you can see her nips?
No comment.
Shannon, you got to pick up your game. Because you're doing a great job here, but Sammy is not only hot, she also brings in gifts.
I baked cupcakes.
Yeah, I can't eat cupcakes. You know that. I said I'm on a real-ass diet. You didn't bring me carrots. Sorry. So, all right. Let's get some of these questions going.
Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer.
Yo, real quick, based on how you treat Shannon, you're gonna be the biggest pain in the dick when you get famous. Just the biggest diva ever.
Yeah.
You didn't bring me carrots.
Yeah.
What do you mean when he gets famous?
I'm a piece of shit
now.
I have been fucking sliding into this fucking mogul role for years. It's just a slow progression. I'm like a glacier. Keep the music on for a minute, Shannon. Now cut it. So, real quick. Great show so far, boys. Akash, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff. We answer some questions at the end of every show from the fans. You guys know, follow me on Facebook. Louis J. Gomez Comedy on Facebook. And, yeah, if you guys have any questions, the morning of the show, I usually post it around 9 or 10 a.m. If you want some insight, you want some advice, we got you. We didn't do our plugs today, Shannon, which I'm going to blame on you because you should be reminding me of these things, but that's okay.
You're such a douche.
It's true. Shannon's a producer of the show. Okay, I can't be creative, hilarious, move the show along. Let me finish my sentence, okay. Piece of shit.
I thought you were done.
Keep a family together.
I can't have all of these roles and at the same time remember everything that the producer's supposed to remember as well. So, real quick, plugs. Anything to plug before we do these questions?
No, I'm good.
I'm gonna you put the song on that?
Yeah, you know, Jen, happy.
Jen,
there you go.
You're completely even now. You didn't do anything right. You didn't do nice anything work. Wrong. You just made yourself back to normal. It's a great song. What is this called?
It's called Live Like Legends by Ruel.
Ruel?
Yep.
No idea.
Love
I like it.
This kid's got potential. Look at you. Heard it here first. Ruel. Potential. Tinkle, what do you got?
Follow me at Chris Tinkle. I'm going to be in San Francisco at the Punchline. On the 9th and the 13th, I think. Oh, I'm sorry, at Cobb's. On the 9th, I'm going to be at Punchline at Cobb's from 10 to the 13th. And then Hammer Fisting, check it out, noon on Thursday. And then we'll be...
Starting next week, it's going to be Thursday or Wednesdays at 5?
Live, yeah.
Yeah, live. Exactly. Hammer Fisting, right. Leading into Legion of Skanks. Big deal.
Yes.
Zachy.
Snapchat me your cat at Zach Amico. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach is not funny. And Roastmasters Final Four, The Stand, November 1st. Me, Christy Cello, JP McDade, and Evan Williams. It's the finals, guys. One of us is going home with the belt. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, congratulations on getting through last night.
I will make a fucking montage of Zach getting ready for this, dude.
With
the song playing, yeah.
Do it.
He just had a fucking diner with like a cheesecake.
Him fucking
no fork.
Just in there.
Throating
the
whole
yodel.
Cheesecake.
Swallowing devil dogs like aspirin.
Funny bones.
Oh, yeah. With the peanut butter?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. It's not even real pastries. If you ever eat, like now I don't. If I eat like sugar, I eat like real pastries. I go to like real bakeries in New York. I will never have a yodel or a devil dog.
Right.
If you ever try that, I tried a Twinkie recently. It doesn't even taste like food.
Oh, it's horrendous.
It's crazy. It's just pure, like, chemical. It's nuts. GomezComedy.com. Gomez Comedy on Instagram. Guys, make sure you check out the countdown. Thursday is 6 p.m. Eastern Standard on SiriusXM Rush 93. Myself and the UFC middleweight champion, Michael Bisping. And also check out the Real Ass Podcast. I apologize. Legion of Skanks every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern here on Gas Digital Network. All right, that's it, Shannon. Let's do some questions now. You don't got to play the intro again. We're good. Thanks, Shannon. I feel like I'm being mean today, Shannon. You're doing great.
Thanks.
All right, so let's get some questions out of the way. Mike Salona wants to know, and Akash, we'll start with you. If you have to pick a limb to lose, which one is it?
Ooh,
one limb.
Right arm, I think.
Are you lefty?
Yeah. Well, I write with my right hand, but whatever. I could type. I could dictate.
Why would you keep your left?
Because I do everything else with my left hand. Play basketball with my left hand, throw with my left hand.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like...
Fingers hot 23-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah.
Ooh, no, I need my right hand, guys. Take the left!
Yeah, I finger with my right. Yeah. But I do everything with my right. Yeah, obviously, a left arm. Nobody's choosing one of their legs.
No. Nah, man, you need that.
Yeah, who would choose one of their legs? That's crazy.
Is anyone going to say dick? Because I was...
That's not a limb.
Oh.
Which one did you choose? Yeah, you're going to obviously choose your non-dominant arm, right?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't want to have to fucking Lieutenant Dan
around. Although fake legs are pretty effective. Like, just put a shoe on and you're walking around wherever you want
to
go.
Yeah, but that's...
That'd be cool to have those feet to have the fucking... You can
the
run.
Spring ones?
The spring feet, dude.
That's pretty cool. Well, what are you more freaked out by? Somebody that has a fake leg or a fake arm?
Fake arm.
Yeah,
that
I'm just fucking.
Yeah,
trying to shake your hand.
Got a little claw on it. Yeah,
yeah, that hook hand. Oh, dude. I used to work at a grocery store, and there was a guy that had the hook hand, and he would like take each thing out of the basket, put it on there, and I was just, I had to look away, dude. I just couldn't. It just freaked me out.
Like he's gonna I saw a guy with a fake leg
yesterday. Actually, looked kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess a fake leg. But I also feel like learning how to walk on a fake leg is a whole other thing.
Oh, true.
You know, your little fucking hook thing, you just fucking gotta... It's like, or you could also get one of those little dinosaur things to, like, pull things off shelves and use that as your arm, having a dinosaur hand.
Yeah, but you could have so many cool arm accessories. A cheese grater.
Yeah, that is also true.
Machine gun. Just those two, really. That's all I need. Cheese grater, machine gun.
Well, machete. There's a lot of cool things you get for your arm. If you're going to take over the world, nobody's taking over the world without a leg. You can take over the world
with a hook.
Yeah, with a fucking hook, easily.
That's true.
Easily.
That's a good point.
All right, let's go with Jeffrey Amato wants to know, what the hell did Jay do to his hair, and why were we the only one to clown him on it? If you guys haven't seen, go look up Big Jay. He fucking... Hey, Sammy, you're back. You're the best. We didn't smoke it yet, but you can come in. Okay. No, it's all good. Thanks. I fucking love her. Jay dyed half of his hair blonde, which is very strange.
That is weird.
He's 38 years old.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Nobody shit on him. I was the only one who shit on him. Nobody else jumped in. I got to be honest with you. I feel like, you know, Jay takes ball busting well, but I feel like people are almost like afraid. Jay's an alpha, so when he's in the room, he has that like alpha energy.
Because we've seen him on stage do off the top of the head shit, and it's just like, I don't want it. It's like going at a rhinoceros.
It's not even that. I mean, look, we all fuck with each other.
Half his head bleached.
Yeah.
We all fuck with each other, but I just feel like people just typically don't fuck with Jay as much. If I dyed half my head, it would be a month.
It would be weird. You don't have any hair. Yeah. So it would even be more awkward.
Yeah, it's just my scalp burning from the bleach that I put on my bald head. But yeah, I think that. And then also, like, you know, it's just not that the show isn't really busting Jay's balls. So it's like when we do that, it kind of, it's not really the tone of the show. It never really works out well whenever we try to give Jay shit.
Is it like the left side of it or the right side is just all blonde?
One side is just blonde. It's crazy.
He has like the Seth Rollins, but short.
All right. Oh, how weird. Why? Did you say why?
He just thought it was cool.
Yeah, it is.
It's fine. Look, we all have style issues.
It's not.
Jay's got terrible style. He dresses like he's a Hot Topic employee in 1999. Yeah. I worked at Hot Topic in 1999. That's the look. Trust me.
Who the fuck still wears JNCOs?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a chain wallet. I love him. Good for him. By the way, he's recognizable. He's carving out a niche. He's also one of the funniest people on the planet. So more power to him. I don't dress well. I have no style. So I can't. I'm not really in a place to be shitting on somebody's style. I dress like a fucking big kid. So, Greg Comporlis, last week, Tickle, you weren't here. He asked us if he should drink, if he should bang that girl with the track marks on her arms.
Oh. I said yes.
Yeah, he said yes. Of course he did, Zach. He has a follow-up. I ended up banging track marks. What should I do now? I soaked my dick in Epsom salt, but I don't think it took. I need to know a few things. Did you use a rubber? You know, if you use a rubber, then you should be good. I think we're fine.
Yeah, and right? Don't do heroin with her.
Don't do drugs with her. Don't raw dog. If you raw dogged her, go get fucking tested, dude. Heroin addicts get AIDS.
I think either way, just get tested, just so you feel better.
What, with a condom? You get tested with a condom?
Just so you feel better.
Shut up, Akash. Yeah. You're crazy. Really? You'd fuck a chick with a condom and then still go get tested?
I just want to know I'm fine. You know what I mean?
It's really hard to get AIDS, by the way.
It is really hard. That was going to be the first thing I said. It's really hard for dudes to get AIDS.
Yeah. Straight dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I would just go get tested. I watched it. We're not going to have time to watch it today. But
I think, Greg, you need to send us a picture of this girl, and we'll decide if we need to go get tested.
Great idea.
That's a good idea,
Email Lewis a picture of her, and we'll tell you next week if she gets tested.
Video from the actual sex act, that'd be cool, too. And
I'm that'll help totally us okay.
I don't think I need to see what a recovering heroin addict looks
I don't know
like.
If it's recovering.
She's we haven't fucked.
She's currently on heroin.
Oh, a current heroin addict. Yeah, I think I'm good.
She's killing it on the heroin front.
Send us pictures of girls you couldn't fuck, Greg. That's what I'm interested in.
No, what is wrong with you? You couldn't jerk off to a heroin? I've jerked off to heroin.
Obviously,
porn.
There's a lot of those.
I have. Jerked off on girls on heroin.
I've fucked heroin addicts. I've jerked off to girls, like obvious crackheads, sucking dudes' dicks like for money, like amateur porn, where it's like she's like, yeah, I'm sucking your dick for crack.
I saw one where it's a cute girl who's fucking off a rocker and it was very hot.
Yeah. I can get
for
into
crack
it.
Money.
Yeah. But she was kind of cute, but you could tell that she was off and it was kind of hot. Just like watching her get railed. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
I always find out too late girls are on heroin. I'm always like the first 2 weeks. I'm like, this girl loves naps.
Like while she's standing.
My kind of girl.
Standing naps are her favorite.
All right, last question. Brett Bloom wants to know, I'm a horror writer trying to build a following, and you're a horrific person with a following. What advice would you give someone who is trying to build a social media presence? Keep killing it, man. I think we could all answer this question. Akash, any advice for this guy to start building?
My social media presence ain't shit, actually. It should be much better.
Oh, really?
I mean, you guys asked me to plug something. I was just like, nah.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate this social media shit. I hate it with all my heart.
Yeah, you got to look. You don't have to do it. I think you gotta. It's a tool, and I think that it's just leaving one of the tools on the table and not bringing it to work with you.
No, you're right.
You know, and it's not necessary, not at all. There's a lot of things. I think going to acting classes and taking acting classes and becoming a good actor is another tool. A lot of people don't do it. Dave Smith has never taken an acting class in his life. He's not interested in it at all. I think it's a tool that he's leaving on the table that he could miss opportunities later on down the line because of it. And I think that's what social media is as well. I'm very engaged with social media because I feel like – I almost feel like we're in society, we can now reach out and touch everybody. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like I always bring it back, and I apologize if I'm repeating myself over and over again on the show, but I bring it back to – I smoked a joint with Greg Rogel outside of the New York Comedy Club in 2001, years before I did stand-up. This is when I was just promoting comedy clubs. And I remember how cool I felt that Greg Rogel would smoke a joint with me after the show. Now, Greg Rogel's a relative unknown comedian. He's still around today, but he's a beast, a murderer, great comic, but never was really like a fucking name, never really did anything beyond just a couple Tonight Show appearances. But I remembered just the feeling of like, oh, this dude that's been on TV, that I just watched murder on stage, took the time with me to shoot the shit with me for a couple minutes, smoke a joint. It was my weed. It wasn't giving me weed. He was smoking my weed, really. Now, I look back, I go, oh, dude, he was trying to get a fucking free joint. You know what I'm saying? But at the time, I remember how much it meant to me and how, like, I was like, that was so cool to make himself accessible like that. It's so, to have that experience now with the fans, it's so easy. So I feel like to not do that, it's a missed opportunity. To not give that feeling to the fans. If somebody sends me a message or asks me a question.
Yeah, I'll respond.
Yeah, I always respond. If somebody asks me advice on something, I always try to respond. I always try to like people's comments if they say something positive about me. But yeah, with how to, I mean, I think being consistent with it and
be present and be amongst like people that you know are going to like. You're like, for you, if this guy's a horror writer,
yeah,
there's horror conventions all over the country, right?
Yeah.
You need to go to as many as you can. Not only be there, hang out all night. If you don't drink, still stay at the bar, meet everybody, get FaceTime with everybody. Build your fan base one person at a time, because then they'll send your shit out.
And they all become ambassadors for your brand.
Yeah.
So people will fucking go, oh, dude, you need to check this guy out. And social media is an extension of that hangout. That's all Twitter is and Facebook is. You have to think of it as an extension of you're at that show, then afterwards you guys go home. And instead of back in the day, it's like, oh, maybe I'll see you in a year. Well, now you guys can keep that connection going and share ideas. I'm engaged with them. I don't just post things, right? I don't just post advertisements for a show or my podcast.
Yeah, you ask questions.
Obviously, I'm trying to be funny. Obviously, I try to write jokes. But I retweet everyday normal people stuff. I don't just retweet comedians. If somebody says something funny, I'll retweet them or I'll like their thing. On Facebook, there'll be just people that are fans of mine that'll post a picture of them and their kid. I'll like it or I'll post a comment on it or I'll see somebody losing weight. I'll be like, dude, congratulations. It's a two-way street, so it's not me just going, hey, everyone, look at me. I'm actually engaged with the people that are on my timeline and that are coming to me. Because they're not coming to you just to hear about your shows. They're coming to you to be engaged. So I think that's an important aspect of it as well.
Also, I would say quantity over quality. Just keep – if you're putting out content, just pump it out.
Yeah.
And then one or two things take and people think. The bar for quality online is disgustingly low.
Yeah. No, I agree with that as well. I feel like you don't necessarily have to be like, oh, well, I have to compose the perfect tweet or the perfect
thing. Which I do a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, you can – I think having – you both just kind of said it. You said be present. You're talking about quantity over quality.
Yeah, it's true.
Being present in the social media world as well as having your name constantly come up in people's timelines. I'm the guy now when – if somebody talks about MMA in the comedy world, okay, yeah. I'm synonymous with that. They go, comedy, MMA, Louis J. Gomez.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I've gotten a lot of things. I've gotten TV things because I'm that guy now, because I'm just constantly there. If there's a UFC event, people are expecting me to be commenting on it throughout the event and when it's happening. So there's, you're right, there's a lot of technique to it as well, and doing things in a smart way. But being present and constantly being there and constantly being in people's timelines is important. It's the reason Coca-Cola spends $1 billion on a fucking ad in Times Square. It's like, is anybody looking up at that ad going like, oh, I want to have a Coke now? No, but they're present. That logo is present in people's mind. If you say the words Coca-Cola, immediately an image of that logo, the red logo with the white writing, comes into your head immediately. And that's building brand recognition. And I think having presence online constantly and being in people's minds and engaging constantly builds you a brand. And that's kind of what I try to do for myself or with Legion of Skanks, Realist Podcast, or any of these different things. They're all individually their own little brands, you know? All right, that's all I got to say. That's my rant. Solid questions. Boys, thanks so much for fucking coming to the show today, man. Solid show. Good stuff as always. Zach, congratulations on the Roastmasters. Two more weeks, and we got the finals. You got to win two in one night. So if you guys want tickets, you guys can get tickets at thestandnyc.com. You guys can also watch the Roastmasters right now at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Anything else? I think that's it. Shannon, hit the music. One more time, go to iTunes. Give us some positive feedback. 5-star rating. Tell some friends about the show. Tweet about it. Anything else? Am I forgetting anything? Got it all? All right. Akash, thanks again, dude.
Thank you all.
Tickle, thanks, man. Shannon, thank you. Did a great job today, babe. And I was a little bit annoyed at the beginning. That wasn't your fault, though. That was the mixer that didn't put Zach's mic on. Thanks.
That's all, folks.